All right, really, it says it's playing. This is a little frustrating. Let's turn it off and let's try.
Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
The Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do this. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so the brand new one went up this morning. If you haven't had the opportunity to get over there and check that out, swing on by, see what's going on over there. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is, come on, we know this by now, at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I'm at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man. I almost said radio.
Yeah, that would have been that would have been right on. Dan, I put the blog up this morning, and a lot of it focused on the Washington Nationals because, you know, like I actually said in the blog, while there were a lot of trades going on yesterday, I actually felt that the MLB Network spent more time talking about the fact that Bryce Harper wasn't traded, which I don't really think anybody except for them was expecting that to happen. But one of the things the Nationals are, you know, kind of working out is they have to get their bullpen going. And one of the guys I thought who could be a pretty solid piece for them and help out was Sean Kelly, who after his, I don't know what you want to describe it as last night, I guess you'd say Little League temper tantrum, was DFA'd by them. So I thought that was quite interesting. Did you happen to catch the highlight out of that fiasco?
No, didn't they win like 25-0? So why would
It was actually when he came into the game, he came in to pitch, I believe it was the bottom of the ninth, and it was 25-1. And he happened to give up a three-run homer. When he gave up the home run, he slammed his glove on the ground just like you would see some little leaguer do. But then, oddly, he stared into the dugout, and it really gave just a horrible image. I mean, it almost made it seem like he was ticked off because he had to go out and pitch, and he was blaming giving up the home run on his manager. Because he literally just stared into the dugout like it was their fault. You know what I mean? As much as I thought he was going to be a big piece of their bullpen, I completely understand why the Nationals DFA'd him. In the situation they're in, this is the last thing they need is some idiot like this acting childish. So, you know, and he'll get other work. He's a quality relief pitcher. That shouldn't be an issue. But, yeah, he was just a moron yesterday, and he paid the price.
But, I mean, Dusty's gone, so why is he mad?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess this was, you know how it is. Well, you know, it was 25-1, and he didn't, I guess he felt he was above being a mop-up man, even though his agents have come out and, you know, his representation and tried to cover it up and said, well, of course he wasn't upset about pitching. He was just upset about giving up the home run and, you know, blah, blah, blah. They said everything that they needed to say PC-wise to cover for him. But, yeah, you know, if you're not upset about being out there, you don't go staring in the dugout. It's one thing to slam your glove on the ground for giving a home run. It's another thing to go staring into your own freaking dugout the way he did. And it was just quite clear that he didn't want to – he didn't think he was the guy who should have been out there. He definitely felt he was above that. So.
Well, apparently – you know, coming out of his mouth was the fact that, you know, he was warned by, or he had an issue with second base umpire for calling him out on a potential balk, and then being told by the home plate umpire that he did a quick pitch, which confuses the hell out of me, you know, with the pace of play, how can a guy pitch too quick? Isn't that what they want? So, but I guess he was upset that Dave Martinez didn't come out to defend him, and that, you know, he goes out there with the same, what's the word, ferocity, maybe? You know, if it was a 1-1 game or a 25-1 game, you know, he's still doing the same thing. So, I don't know, it's kind of, you know, to get upset over some umpire stuff in a blowout like that was, I mean, I don't remember the last time we've seen a game with that high of a score. So I think he's taking it way too serious.
Yeah, you know, now he can go, you know, go to another team that may not be a contender. So, you know, way to let your immaturity get the better of you in a 25-1 game. So that was brilliant upon your part. But all right, while we're on the Nationals, Dan, I came across this article about 10 players that could still be traded. You know, obviously that you can still make trades. Players just have to clear waivers. And I'm so baffled by this, Dan, because the first name they come up with is Bryce Harper. I don't understand why they are stuck on this horse. Do they not realize that the Nationals want to attempt to re-sign him? And if they were to deal with him, that would probably eliminate them from bringing him back next season, unless they grossly overpaid him, more like 10 years, $500 million, which is something they don't want to do. Can we get these guys to do some actual baseball research, Dan, and just because they want to get attention to say, oh, well, I was the one who said they were going to trade him. He's not going anywhere.
Well, you know, I mean, it's the age-old, well, if you trade him now, you should get, you know, let's just say like the Dodgers or someone of that stature's farm system for, you know, well, it would be Bryce Harper. And then, you know, let's just say the Cubs. And then the Nationals would get the South Bend Cubs.
Yeah, you know, the problem also now is you're looking at a guy you're going to have for 3 months. You're not getting that.
No, and I don't understand that either. You're not going to get the farm for a guy for 2 months who you have to try to negotiate with Scott Boras to re-sign him.
Right.
And so, I think we all know he's going to test the market. And not only that, the Nationals have the opportunity to, give him the qualifying offer if he doesn't take their contract, and then they get the compensation pick. That will always help them in 5 to 6 years.
Yeah, you know, that and the fact that it's also really good faith, because when they start talking to Boras, they can say, well, look, we didn't trade him like everybody kept reporting and told you he wasn't going anywhere. You know, because their general manager came out yesterday and said he's not going anywhere. He didn't go anywhere yesterday. He's not going anywhere now. And especially, I mean, how the hell could you get Bryce Harper through waiver? What team wouldn't claim Bryce Harper? I mean, if I'm the Baltimore Orioles and I see his name pop up, I'm claiming him right away. I'll take him for the rest of the season if you want to give him to me. Hell, he'll sell me tickets.
Sell a lot of tickets.
So, you know, but yeah, they just can't get off this. You know, it's like they think they have a story here and they don't. And it's just kind of like, do some research here. And at least the next name they came up with actually has a possibility of being traded, and that's Josh Donaldson of the Blue Jays. There's a really good chance he would have been gone yesterday, except for the fact that he's on the disabled list. And his timetable to return is still a couple weeks away. So you probably didn't want to give – well, you couldn't have gotten much for him being on the disabled list. But if he comes out and shows he can still play, then they can get a – you know, I mean, at least a quality prospect in return, right? Because Donaldson's another guy who's in the last year of his deal.
Yeah, I wouldn't really be looking to give up a whole lot unless you're in dire need. You know, the third baseman, you know, let's just say for some reason Justin Turner has some kind of relapse on his, rehab assignment. I don't know if he's on a rehab assignment. He's only on a 10-day 10-day DL, so, you know, if something really bad were to happen to him, I think that's when you'd be looking at a team that's going to, like, really pursue him.
Yeah, and now the next two guys, this is from is actually stupidity, because they're both 10-5 guys. And the first one is Adam Jones, who said he didn't want to go anywhere. He has the right to veto any deal, so I guess they decided that they weren't going to listen to him and put him on this list, or the fact they just couldn't come up with 10 guys and had to include him. The other one is Adrian Beltre, who basically said he was only going to accept a deal, I think it was to the Red Sox. And there were, you know, it's funny because, like, they're reporting that there were talks between the Rangers and the Red Sox. I heard the exact opposite on the MLB Network. I heard that the Red Sox weren't even interested in making a deal. Maybe that's changed now that Rafael Devers is on the 10-day DL. You know, maybe this is something they'll kick the tires on for the rest of the year. You know, but it's two more guys that are free agents at the end of the year. You know, I'm not giving anything up for Adrian Beltre or Adam Jones. You know, unless, like you said, I get a significant injury. I mean, are you giving away much to get either of these guys?
No, not one day.
So, you know, then they a little more interesting name. I was a little surprised this guy wasn't traded yesterday. They mentioned Matt Harvey, who, as we know, was an embarrassment in a Met uniform. You know, he's been a little better with the Reds. I know everybody was kind of jumping up and down, but, you know, his ERA was still 4.44 with Cincinnati. So that's not exactly, you know, what I would call ace material. But everybody kind of seems to be back on the Matt Harvey bandwagon here. I don't know if he I mean, he's not a rotation changer or anything, is he?
No, I think he's a guy you're looking for fifth or fifth spot.
Yeah.
Come out of the pen.
So, yeah, because I was kind of baffled by the fact that everybody was really kind of jumping up and down on the fact that, you know, he was the guy to have. And, but he's another guy in the last year of that deal, and he's a spot Boris Klein as well. So, I, you know, and I know Boris, that, you know, occasionally he gets a little carried away with his clients. I'm assuming he's going to take Harvey into free agency, but I don't see guys running out to sign him. I mean, I'm not in any hurry to deal with Boris for Matt Harvey.
No, and I mean, you wonder with a guy like him, you know, do you take him on and do more of a Tampa Bay Rays type deal where you have him as an opener and they can go through maybe the first two innings?
I'd make him open every freaking day, all right? He can pitch every day. That's how it's going to work.
Well, no, because then he'd be hitting batters the three times in a row. So,
he's
going to do it in one series.
Then, you know, and oddly, as I'm starting to look through this list, I'm trying to figure out if this will bother to maybe look for guys who were in more than just the last year of the deal. Because you're not going to get much for any of these guys. But the next guy he jumps on is Andrew McCutchen. You know, I heard a little bit of his name earlier. He has had a bit of a down year. 258 with just 11 homers. You figure the homers would come down a little playing in San Francisco. You know, again, another guy in the last year of his deal. You know, the Giants are a game over 500, so it's not like they're completely out of it. They're just in a pretty tough division. Are you buying on them trying to move McCutcheon, especially after the Johnny Cueto news?
No, I mean, you know, this is a team that still needs to contend, so I don't think there's anyone you're going to get that's going to help improve your team right now.
Yeah, you know, my biggest problem with all these trades is we're throwing all these guys out there that are in the last year of their deals. You know, obviously these trades still have to be made, so you're getting them for less than 3 months. I just can't see giving anything away. I mean, hey, you want a couple guys from my, you know, low class A ball or something? Yeah, sure, give me Bryce Harper for, you know, two guys down here. I'll make that deal, but I'm not giving you one of my top notch prospects for a guy that I know I can't re-sign because he's going into free agency. And you know, it seems stupid.
Yeah, I mean, unless, you know, the Yankees for some reason Giancarlo gets hurt, or
yeah,
the other guy, Aaron Judge. I mean,
well, he's already hurt.
Oh yeah, that's right. But you know, out for the rest of the season. I think that's when you make the big deal. But even with San Francisco, you know, they're not that far out of it. You're going to take a starter out of your outfield. That doesn't make much sense.
So yeah, and then they finally get to a guy who at least has an option for next year, and that's Irvin Santana. Now, you know, the tough part here is coming back from injury. You know, he's made two starts. And, you know, the first one was decent. The second one, not as successful. He doesn't have a decision, but he's only put 10 and a third innings in two starts, and the ERA is 6.10. So, you know, you would be taking a little bit of a risk here on more his resume and that he's healthy more than anything else. So far, though, Dan, you know, he does have he's got a $14 million option for next year. So far, I think this guy is the best guy on the list. At least you have the opportunity to keep him next year if you want him.
But, yeah, and I mean, this is the guy that you're looking for when you already have a solid 1-2-3 and you're on the cusp of going to the playoffs, or even, you know, no one's guaranteed right now, but I think this would be a guy that would really help on a team.
So, yeah, then they get to another guy here, another pitcher with an option for next year that he would probably have to pitch multiple shutouts for a team to consider it. So that's James Shields of the White Sox. You know, he's 4-13. You expect that on a bad team. You know, the problem is the ERA is 4.56. And, you know, he's been really up and down. You know, like I think it was a start or two. I think he went out and pitched like six scoreless innings. And then I think it was his last start, he got knocked all over the ballpark. So I don't really, you know, I'm not quite sure what the hell you're getting. I mean, obviously he's a veteran guy. You know, he used to be Big Game James, but that was a long time ago. His option next year is for $16 million, and there's no way in hell anybody's picking that up for James Fields. So I don't know. While it's nice that you could at least look at it, I can't see having any real interest in this guy at this point compared to you.
No, I mean, maybe the Cubs could trade him for Tyler Chatwin.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be pretty flop there, wouldn't it? Except Chatwin has a whole lot more years on his contract. I don't know if you want to have to deal with that. So.
Yeah, but I mean, that was just, I mean, you're really, I've heard someone bring that up before, and I've heard, I think Steve Stone and, not the Hawk, the other guy, talk about it, but not talk about it in the sense that these national guys would put it out there like it's really going to happen. They more talked about it in the sense that if he can pick his game up, that he might be an option come trade deadline. But
yeah.
I mean, I feel like even though he's got four wins, I don't think he's had more than two really good games this season. Sadly, I think he's going to be a guy who's no longer in baseball next year.
Yeah, I really think he's done. And then the last guy in this craptacular list, and I got to tell you, Dan, this was one of the worst lists I think I've ever seen when I found these things. This was a joke. They wrap it up with Devin Mesoraco, who another guy in the last year of his contract. So you can go out, Dan, and get a catcher who's hitting .229 for the Mets. That sounds like somebody I want to add to my team.
Well, I mean, wasn't that the point of what the Mets did, was to add him to their team to bolster some offense, and it didn't work. So what would be the difference somewhere else?
So, Dan, I actually lied to you. There is another name on this list, and this one almost kind of makes some sense. I'm a little shocked here. The name here is Sinshu Chu, who's having a very good year. He's hitting .277 with 20 home runs, driven in 51 RBIs for an incredibly bad Ranger. And interestingly, Dan, he is signed through 2020. Now, for Chu, though, the price tag is a little high. The Rangers are paying him $20 million this year. That salary goes to $21 for the next 2 years. You're going to have him. $21 million in each of those years. You know, Dan, I think Chu is a good ball player, but I don't think he's a $20 million a year type of guy. Are you investing here? Is this somebody you'll look at down the stretch? Either I stumped Dan or he muted himself, one of the two. Oh, no, there he goes. He fell off. That's what happened to him. We lost him. Dan has fallen off, so we will give him a minute to recycle. But there he goes. Hey, that was quick. All right, Dan, you paying him that money? You getting him? You going out getting him? You paying him that money? And just so you know, he's 35 right now.
Not much the Rangers pick up. $17 million.
You know, and I almost have to think that this is an American League only kind of exclusive player at this point. You know, I mean, I know he's played a little outfield for the Rangers, but you know, we're talking about a guy who's going to be, technically he just turned 36 last month. He'll be 38 by the time this contract expires. I don't know how much help he'll be in the outfield. So don't you got to kind of be like, yeah, well, hey, here's your, you know, here's your DH.
Yeah, I guess I didn't even think of it that way. I mean, that's probably a bigger deal for, like you said, an American League team. I'm just trying to pull up, you know. Who do you think could possibly use him? I mean, does Cleveland take a shot at him? Or your guy
being that they're limited, being that they're limited to the American League only, out of contenders, unless Texas is willing to pick up a lot of that salary to send him to Oakland, which I just don't see happening. But then you got to play Chris Davis in the outfield every day, which isn't much better. The only other option is Cleveland, isn't it?
Yeah.
So.
You know, and they're pretty much the weakest team in the American League.
Yeah, out of the contenders, they're definitely, I mean, they're the one with the worst record. And, of course, they are kind of on cruise control with the division, and they don't have much to worry about. But, yeah, just kind of.
Well, I mean, technically, if we got rid of the division, they wouldn't even be in it.
No.
Well, they'd be, they wouldn't. You know, Oakland or, you know, the Yankees have their spot, and Oakland and Seattle would be the wild card team.
Yeah, record-wise, Cleveland is the sixth best team in the American League right now. They happen to be in the right division. So. You know, but that's just, you know, the American League. I mean, obviously the East is incredibly top-heavy. Tampa Bay has been a bit of a surprise, but Toronto and Baltimore suck. You know, the Rangers have been bad. The Angels are a .500 team. And, you know, the A's, Mariners, and the Astros have been good. So.
Yeah, at least the White Sox are the third worst team.
In baseball or in – yeah, oh, yeah, they are. Look at that. Yeah, it's the Orioles, the Royals, and then the White Sox, all in the American League. So that'll tell you even a little more about how the American League is. So, you know, and at this point, it's not going to get, you know, any better. I mean, the Orioles are going to be a scrap heap for a while. I don't know what the hell's going on with the Blue Jays. And, you know, the Sox and the Royals are in limbo. And, you know, you got to assume the Rangers are probably going to try to go through a rebuild, you know, as well. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, out of those teams, I think really the only team going up is the White Sox. Although,
yeah, well,
you know, looking at the way they played, I still don't.
Yeah, you know, you look at the Central and, you know, Minnesota just made some moves. It looks like they'll probably go through a rebuild. Detroit is rebuilding. The White Sox are rebuilding. And Kansas City is going to have to go through it again. So, you know, Cleveland's probably going to win this division for three or four more seasons by mistake, aren't they?
By default.
So, you know, yeah, I who knows? That's just kind of weird when you look at it there. You're like, wait a minute. Hey, I guess I should be you should be betting on Cleveland. Of course, we did think that about the Nationals too, and everybody else kind of popped up. But I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to give up on the Nationals, Dan, because I realized today looking at things, they play the Phillies 9 times and the Braves 8. So they're going to have an opportunity to make up that ground. It's just going to be if they can win those games.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we did have you know, being that it's Wednesday, we did have some early games. The Nationals beat the Mets again, 5-3. Tommy Malone got the win. Noah Syndergaard came off the DL to get the loss, and Kelvin Herrera got the save. Believe it or not, Dan, the Orioles beat the Yankees, and even more amazing, Alex Cobb got the win. Can you believe that?
The Yankees just take a day off and start on.
Well, Sonny Gray pitched last third. He got roughed up. Detroit beat Cincinnati 7-4. Drew Verhagen got the win. Sal Romano took the loss, and Shane Green got a save for me before he switches over to Dan's team. I think that's tomorrow. In the trade we made, the Indians shut out the Twins 2-0. Carlos Carrasco got the win. Matt McGill took the loss, and Brad Hand got the save there. And then the only other final, we got the A's beating the Blue Jays. Excuse me, 8-3. Sean Manaea got the win, and Marcus Stroman took the loss. The Astros are on their way to beating the Mariners. They currently lead that game 8-3. So unless we get a huge Seattle comeback. That game's gonna go down as a Astro win is what I'm trying to say. So there you go. You're all caught up going into tonight.
Yay! We're gonna have to make at least one more trade before we're over with because I need to get my medal.
Oh, that's it. I'm not accepting any more of your trades then. So.
Well, we could do a DL swap.
Yeah, I have plenty of those guys. So. But, I have to ask you, Dan, now, you know, the big thing, Cole Hamels makes his debut for the Cubs tonight. How excited are you?
Oh, thrilled. I mean, it's happening right now.
Are you more excited for Cole making his debut for the Cubs or Tyler Glasnow making his debut for the Rays?
I think
you have a rapping. Do you have a rapping conductor? It almost sounded like that guy was trying to rap. So.
No, he only does it in certain. Yeah, you're right. It's almost like bars on a rap song.
Yeah, so that was a weird one. I was like, hey, all right. So.
Yeah, he's always interrupting us. But I think I'll go with Cole Hamels. Although I think Glasnow's gonna fade away and into this season, and then hopefully next year he can pick it back up again. I think going down to Tampa, the pressure's off.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'll be interested. You know, I took a chance on him late in one of our drafts, and he wasn't very good. I ended up, I think I mentioned the other day, I ended up cutting him. But there were a lot of guys who were really kind of on him yesterday, thinking that he could be kind of a surprise in that deal. So,
yeah, but your pitching coach works for the Cubs, so how did that work?
Yeah, even though, yeah, it's odd that that's happened, but yet the Rays, I think, were pitching better than the Cubs. So.
No, I think it's a bigger, with the trades happening, will be Cole Hamels with the Cubs. It's an interesting trade, and you've got to wonder if the pressure will get to Cole Hamels. I think one of the cool things and one of the highlights of this trade deadline, especially for being a Cubs fan, and not just me, but Cubs fans in general, is, even though Theo's been here for, 6-7 years now, I still think the pre-Theo era of, Jim Hendry and all his predecessors, the Cubs never did anything like that. They never made big moves. They never, really attempted to go crazy on the trade market. And I'm not saying that Theo went crazy, but, they never really made big flashes. You think about it, going back with Jim Hendry, one of the bigger trades that he made that I can remember was bringing over Aramis Ramirez and Randall Simon.
Kenny Lofton.
Kenny Lofton, but they weren't. If they did something, it was just one deal. That was it. The biggest signing he had pretty much was what's his name?
Alfonso Soriano.
But then you bring in Milton Bradley, and it was a nice one, but didn't really improve the team. And they tried to do things, but I feel like Hendry was more for making a splash with name value as opposed to actually trying to improve and build a winning team.
Yeah, well, it's odd. I mean, obviously, guys have their different beliefs on how they do things. We watched for years, on the other side of town, Kenny Williams kept trying over and over to rebuild on the fly. And, he would make these deals that would look very positive. And you'd think, oh, okay, this team's got a chance. Remember, we were all excited. What was it, 3 off seasons ago when they went out and they got your guy Melky, Jeff Samardzija, and Adam LaRoche. And it was like, oh, yeah, they won the off season. It looked like they're going to be really good, and that team sucked.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's weird how it worked out that way.
The Melky deal I really didn't like, and I felt like it was too much money, but you come into this season, and if you had a guy with that contract, it's really nothing.
Yeah.
So what guys are getting now. It wasn't a bad one, but I think part of that for Samardzija was he just didn't perform, and the Roche, I mean, he was more worried about bringing his son to training camp.
Yeah, well, the first year he wasn't. After that, then, yeah, he got kind of carried away with his kid had to be there every day, which I don't know. I'm sure it's nice to have your kid around, but I can imagine the burden that was on the other player. Having him there every day. So, it's probably better that he's out of baseball now anyway. Not that it's ever anything spectacular. But, yeah, it's interesting how Theo is the front guy, and Theo's name, he gets all the credit. But what people got to realize is, Theo may have scouted Chris Bryant once or twice. There was somebody else there doing all the research, doing everything else. Same with Kyle Schwarber. I mean, you go down the list of the guys the Cubs have drafted. Theo wasn't sitting in the stands every game. There was a scout there for the Cubs doing all the legwork. Theo's just the guy who, we're picking this guy, and then he gets to sit back and get all the credit for it. So it's, you know, it's a nice plus when they work out. Of course, in response, when it doesn't work out, Theo's also the guy who loses his job, while the scout probably gets to keep his. So there's, you know, pluses and minuses with it. But, yeah, it's just funny when you listen to guys who kind of think Theo's out there scouting all these guys as well.
Yeah, but I think, you know, and I guess you're right, I was kind of off on that a little bit. It was more ownership. You know, the WGN days are over, and the WGN, they only, with a corporation, that only cared about, you know, turning a profit. You know, Sam Snell didn't give a damn about the Cubs winning or losing. He was just happy that, you know, their profit margin was working. You know, now that you got the Ricketts in there, you know, he makes improvements to the park and wants to see the team win.
Remember when Sam Snell bought it, he bought it as an asset. He didn't care that it was a baseball team. He bought it because it was money making. And all he wanted those guys to do was to continue to make money. So, that was just his plan, just to make money and then turn it around and sell it for a profit, which he did.
Yeah. Well,
and that,
not
you
only
know,
that, but
that's what he was. He was a businessman.
Well, and that's what set up that stupid rooftop deal.
Yeah. So, yeah, he was just looking for a way to put some money away, and, you know, this kind of odd. Was Mark Cuban one of the guys who wanted the Cubs before they sold it to Zell, or was that with the Ricketts?
I think Cuban was with the Ricketts deal, but baseball owners didn't want Cuban in.
They wanted Duncan to be with Mark Cuban as an owner. So.
Which, I don't know, I feel like it's kind of, the process just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, that you have to be voted in or approved by the other owners. I mean, the team's for sale, so you go for the highest bidder.
You have to be approved. I guess they got to make sure you're going to fit the boys club. So, otherwise, I don't know what it would be otherwise, huh?
Yeah, otherwise it won't be good for everybody else.
Yeah, I just thought it was, one of those weird things, we can't sell to this guy. He would be bad for the game.
Well, and I think... that's what it came off as, that, oh, no, we don't want him, he'll be bad for the game. But I think if you went the other route and said, his business interests are, definitely tied with the Mavericks, and, do you want an owner who's not really going to be involved when he's down in Dallas through the playoffs? Because the NBA has, 3 months of playoffs?
I thought it was 8, but that's okay.
Yeah. Granted, I know the owner doesn't have to be there every single day, but...
Aren't some of the better teams, though, teams that we don't even know who the owners are?
Yeah, but we all know who the owners of the Patriots and Cowboys are.
Yeah, that's one of the things. The Cowboys don't know how to shut up. That and the fact that you damn well know he likes the attention, so he's going to... going to continue to just keep yakking because that's what it is. So, did he say something else today? I didn't even bother to look.
No, I don't even deal with, read anything. I don't really care. He can say what he wants. He's the owner of the Cowboys. To me, it doesn't affect me any. I'm not a Cowboys fan.
No, you know, my biggest thing is I wish they would just get over this national anthem thing. It's to me, it's old and boring now.
But yeah, you know, nothing's changed. Nothing's going to change.
Right.
You know, yeah, great, you're kneeling, big deal. What are you doing? Are you going
right,
out there? Are you protesting? You're donating money?
Right.
I don't. You know, you're not really doing anything.
Yeah, at this point in time, I would love for somebody to explain to me what the hell they're protesting. And what has changed since they started protesting?
Yeah.
Has anything changed? Have they made a difference?
No.
So.
No, all it's really done is it's become like a political race. Just like, you know, any presidential race that we have in this country, this you know, kneeling has done nothing but pretty much help divide the country, just like, you know, Republican versus Democrat. It's the same thing. We're all friends until we have to pick a side. And
here's the thing that baffled me, and I think I asked Schomburg Stu this last week, one of the days you were out sick. The NBA has had a month stand for the national anthem rule for years, but yet nobody brings this up, and they just all want to go after the NFL. Is it because the NFL is perceived as the number one sport? I mean, I get that the Mickey Mouse Network can't go after it because they paid a whole bunch of money to cover it, so they're not going to do it. But there's other outlets, and you would think they would know that the NBA has this rule. And Dan, I've never heard it come up.
No. So I mean, it's came up, but I mean, it doesn't make for a hot topic.
Yeah. Is it because some guy who got benched didn't kneel for the national anthem in an NBA game? Is that what happened? You know, some guy who lost his starting job decided to kneel and make a statement. And after he lost his job, of course, he didn't do it while he was the starter. He waited until he lost the job and then he did it. So,
yeah. Well, and I mean, let's be honest, the NBA, these guys make a lot more money. I'm not going to say that they work harder. I mean, they schedule a little bit longer. I think it all balances out. But, I mean, these guys, their career can last, you know, almost 20 years. Even as a sick man, you know, you can go 20 years in the game. So I don't think, you know, choosing political sides really makes you that valuable to a team and in keeping your relevance for 20 years.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, in another way, you know, also the NBA, you really get to associate a player's face with the player. You know, in the NFL, during the game, it's covered up by the helmet. So a lot of times, you know, we don't even know these guys without their helmets on. You know, you just know them by the back of the jersey and the number. And then once they take the helmet off and they're not in uniform, a lot of guys, these guys can't be picked out. Where in the NBA, I mean, this guy's got a face. You know who he is. Wouldn't they have a greater impact if they tried to take a stand or tried to maybe help?
I think so. I mean, they do the thing where they wear T-shirts every once in a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it's guys like LeBron who, you know, they actually do something with their money. LeBron's out there. You know, he started a school in Cleveland.
Yeah. But, yeah, so, yeah, it's just kind of, you know, because I know we're going to go through this again in a few weeks. I think preseason actually kicks off this week. Believe it or not, the NFL is going to get up and running. So, and you have to remind me, Dan, Friday night, Johnny Manziel makes his first start for the CFL, so we're going to have to talk about that. You'll have to remind me. But, yeah, you know, I mean, so we're going to be jumping right into this BS again with the anthem, and it's just like, really? Come on. You know, it's time to, you know, find a new fight, isn't it?
Yeah, big cutting.
So now since we are this close, you know, I did set up both our leagues. So if you're looking to play fantasy, you can email us or hit us up on Twitter. It's sportstimeradio@hotmail.com or you know, at Sports Time Radio on Twitter. We have two 20-team leagues. One is a straight auction league, and then the other one is our Snake League draft. We do have some openings if you're interested. Just shoot us a message. It is free. We do use the Yahoo system to play. So, and that's the website, not what Dan and I are when it comes to fantasy sports. So, yeah, just shoot us a message. We'll get you the link, and you can join us and play for free if you're interested. So, are you excited about football? Because I'm really not, Dan. I haven't been able to get into it.
Not really. I mean, I'm going to a preseason game, but other than that.
Yeah, you know, I keep trying. I'm kind of like, yeah, well, you know, it's got to be football season, but my interest is waning. You know, then of course it didn't help that Doug Baldwin got hurt today. You know, of course the Seahawks wide receiver, and it looks like he's going to miss the entire preseason. And then of course locally here, leave it to the Bears, Dan, the only team who can't get their number one draft pick signed. So.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. It's not even the whole dilemma with the national anthem. I'm tired of the NFL having to be so political, and I don't even think it's coming from their end. But you know, it's getting old.
Yeah, like I said, I'm trying. You know, I really am, because, I mean, I like football, but I don't even know what it is. I mean, you know, like they're starting to talk about it more and more on, you know, obviously the Mickey Mouse Network or, you know, whatever else you're watching. And I'm just kind of like, yeah, whatever. I'll catch up with it later. But, you know, our draft is in like a month.
Is it Labor Day weekend?
Yeah, it's another one of those fun things where I have three drafts on that weekend because they decided to do the Money League draft Labor Day weekend. So yeah, we have all our stuff wrapped up then, because I believe opening game is that Thursday night.
Oh wow.
So yeah, it's gonna be here before we even realize it. And you know, like I haven't even looked at rankings or tried to put together rankings. I don't know what's going on with me. I just really haven't been that interested in it.
Neither have I. I'm getting back into baseball now that I'm no longer in school.
Yeah, so it's just been kind of, kind of baffling. You know, I mean, because, you know, I'm normally attempting to pay attention to see, you know, who's getting hurt or who might be, you know, a sleeper type guy, you know, something to that effect. And I, you know, like I'll click on a site and I'll start to read it, and I'll get a couple of lines into the article, and I'll be like, yeah, okay, whatever. What else is there to read? And I won't even really have any recall memory of what I just went through, and I'm like, okay, what's going on with me? So I don't know if I'm just getting old or if I'm just kind of losing interest in football with all the BS, and I'm just starting to think there's just too much BS with, like you said, all the political stuff. It's just beginning to really turn me off from the game. So yeah, I don't know, just one of those things. I mean, I don't know if there's anybody else who, you know, who feels that way, or, you know, how it kind of works out. But, you know, hopefully by the time, you know, obviously I got a month here to kind of get my ship righted, and hopefully by the time everything rolls around, I'll be a little more interested. But yeah, I don't know. I don't even know how to kind of describe the feeling. I mean, maybe when they actually get a preseason game on, and I watch the starters play a couple snaps, I'll be a little more excited about it. I just don't know. It's kind of ugh. That's sadly the best way to describe it. I wish I had a better objective or a better word for it. But yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of like, yeah, okay, here we go. I got, this or that or whatever it's going to be. And I just got to hope that, come draft time, I'm into it and I'm ready to go. And, I have a good year, because I think it was a year or two ago I actually managed. Bye. Oh, sorry, you're not talking.
Oh, I thought.
Damn it, I hate it.
So on mute.
You want mommy to take your dad? No.
But yeah, so we'll have to see. I mean, I'm actually gonna go pull the rankings up right now, because I need to know who the number one guy is I'm assuming it's, in our league, it's probably a quarterback, because that's kind of how those things shake out. Of course, it could be a wide receiver. There are a lot of guys who, Antonio Brown could be up there or something like that. So we'll have to take a look here real quick. And it does look like we have 4 openings in the auction league and 6 openings in the snake league if you are interested in playing. But I am surprised, Dan, that you haven't even done a mock draft yet.
Oh, that's right.
So
I got to get 50 in to get my medal.
Cool. Well, it looks like the top 5 is dominated by running backs. It's Le'Veon Bell at 1, Todd Gurley at 2, then Antonio Brown drops in at 3. Then it's 2 more running backs, David Johnson and Ezekiel Elliott, at 4 and 5. So there you go. There's the top 5 for our board.
Well, I hope I get the first pick again.
You can take Le'Veon Bell? Oh.
I'll take whoever makes Mr. Fantasy mad.
Yes. So, yeah, and he is in the league so far. I don't know if he'll make it to the draft. I don't know about that. Something may come up, but being it's the same weekend as our money league draft, I think he could be okay. So, but now, Dan, I did want to ask you this, because I saw this today, and I want to know, what do you know about the WBKFF?
World Bowling Federation?
It is the World Bare Knuckle Fighting Federation.
I thought we already had MMA.
Yeah, well, I guess, but apparently, since this kind of links up with football, but former San Diego Charger defensive lineman Sean Marion has signed with this WBKFF and apparently is going to compete in bare knuckle fighting.
I think I seen something on that a while back, but I guess. I don't know if I really have any interest in it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, in MMA they wear gloves.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'm just kind of wondering, what the difference is here. I mean, is it, are there takedowns? Are there more... they do have, believe it or not, they have a pay-per-view coming up August 25th. It's in Biloxi, Mississippi, if you'd like to attend. And apparently they have women as well. They have women doing this here. So, yeah, it looks from the video that it's more a boxing style. It doesn't appear that there are takedowns. So it kind of looks like it's boxing without gloves.
I guess that could be cool. I mean, it's better than that one thing you told me about a while back. I forgot what it was. Some kind of weird fighting with weapons.
Oh, yeah, I would have to lie to you to try to remember that. I have no idea what that was. So, but yeah, it looks like there's 9 fights on the pay-per-view. And the first one they list is Beck Rawlings versus Britannia Hart. So they list the women's matches first.
The WWE guy.
I don't know any of these names. I haven't seen any of these before. So I don't know, you know, what it's like. I mean, like the other couple fights listed, it's Chris Lytle versus Drew Lipton, and then it's Arnold Adams versus Joey Beltran. So, you know, none of the names have jumped out. It looks like they're doing some kind of tournament because they have semifinal rounds in the heavyweight tournament. But, yeah, you know, I saw Marion's name attached to it, so it kind of drew my interest a little bit. It looks like, yeah, it says only on pay-per-view, and then the way it's broken up, it says bareknuckle.tv, so maybe you can watch it there?
I'm sure you need a subscription, but, I mean,
yeah.
I think the only way it'll work, obviously, is if it's on a night when nothing else is on, and then you got to go, you know, you're hoping that this is something that bars are going to go after.
Yeah, I guess it is possible. You know, no surprise, Dan, they have a shop. You can buy gear. And I do have to tell you, I do like the T-shirt that says take off your gloves and fight like a man. I do get a kick out of that one. So, but yeah, I think Sports Time Radio is the only one that just doesn't have an official shop. It seems like immediately the first thing people do is put, merchandise up here. So,
yeah, I mean, maybe one day.
And they do have a hat, but it doesn't say if it's fitted. So, otherwise, I could see you could buy a bare knuckle fitted hat. But yeah, I don't know. Does something like that perk your interest? Would you, you know, like if it was free, would you watch it?
Possibly. I mean, if it's free, I definitely would check it out. I mean, I would. I think you'd, you know, go after maybe watching the heavyweights.
Yeah, you know, I think I would probably be okay checking out a fight. I don't know if it's the whole card. But I As always, well, big thanks for coming on and listening tonight. It's really cool when you do that. But don't forget, the podcast is available for you to listen to anytime you want at tunein.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.